It is.
Yeah, this is the Crypto EO. We're going to be forming an internal working group to make crypto, to make America the world capital in crypto under your leadership.
Which is really going up, right?
Absolutely.
So I wasn't actually going to make a show today, but the events of the past 24 hours have been so monumental. And I don't think that when you look at the price captures everything that has happened in the last 24 hours. Now, of course, we do have a lot of green on the market, and you do have Bitcoin at 105,392. You have the altcoins actually going up, and a lot of them are ETH-related altcoins. But even without this, I don't think that the market fully has captured what's happened in the last 24 hours. And I think that there's a good chance that pretty soon there's going to be a catch-up between the price and the fundamentals of the market. And I want to prepare you for the catch-up and the catch-up that's going to happen. And so instead of doing our normal Friday banter today, I figured we'd do a show and I'd update you on everything that's happened in the last 24 hours and why I think that the price is going to follow suit. So if you appreciate that, obliterate the like button. It's a huge day today. Subscribe to the channel if you're not already subscribed. And let's get this Friday special show on the road, guys. Fridays are banter days, except when we get a crazy 24 hours. And when you look at the price just isn't reflecting exactly what's going to happen. On a very serious note, I do want to show you why I think the price is not actually reflecting so well what's happened the last 24 hours. But I do want to show you exactly what the last 24 hours have actually been about. And let me tell you, it's been probably the most pivotal 24 hours in crypto other than the actual election day. This has been one of the most pivotal 24 hours in crypto. And there are, of course, good reason why the price isn't reflecting it. And I'll show you that in a second. But let's review the last 24 hours and see what happened. So it started off with Senator Cynthia Lummis teasing that big things are coming. And you remember we were live when this happened yesterday. And we were there. We waited for 10 a.m. It turns out it wasn't our 10 a.m. that we were waiting for. And at 10 a.m., whilst everybody thought that she was going to talk about the Bitcoin strategic reserve, she spoke about something else. And she spoke about the fact that she's honored to chair the Senate Bank Subcommittee on Digital Assets. Now, at the time, I'll be honest, I said, it's big news for Cynthia Lummis, but it's not really big news for Bitcoin. And to be honest, I was wrong. Because whereas we were all waiting for a strategic reserve announcement, and this tweet over here was probably my disappointment about the fact that we didn't get a strategic reserve announcement, I think in the long term, the fact that we've got Senator Cynthia Lummis, who really understands crypto. She's been in a lot of crypto conferences. She's been fighting for crypto for the last, I remember for 4 to 8 years, her actually fighting for crypto. And she's now the chair of the Senate Subcommittee on Digital Assets. It gives her a lot of power. It gives her a lot of power to present bills. It gives her a lot of power to invite debates, to invite hearings in the Senate and in the Congress. And so I think that maybe short term, we didn't get the Bitcoin strategic reserve, but it's actually a very big step in the right direction. And it didn't actually stop there, because a couple of minutes later, we got news that SAB 121, which was the act that the Joe Biden administration snuck through, which prohibited the banks from actually, American banks, from actually holding Bitcoin for their customers, was now overturned. And you can see that that was tweeted by Hester Peirce from the SEC. She says, bye-bye, SAB 121. It's not been fun. SSC Gov. And it was basically repealed by the SEC. What you're seeing is you're seeing the winds of change. You're seeing an SEC that is coming out guns blazing for crypto, as opposed to the old SEC, which came out guns blazing against crypto. And they're reversing all the, you want to call it atrocities of the past, all the bad rulings of the past. And they're making it much more crypto friendly. America has put its stake in the ground, and they've said that they're going to become the crypto capital of the world. And to this end, we had Trump yesterday in Davos saying exactly that.
Make the United States a manufacturing superpower and the world capital of artificial intelligence and crypto.
You got to pinch yourself and just say to yourself, like, are we living in a simulation? Have we gone from like the most hostile regime on crypto to a president that loves crypto, that wants to make the United States the crypto capital of the world, as much as he wants it to be the manufacturing capital of the world and the AI capital of the world. This is big news. This is massive news. This shows that Trump is serious about crypto. And if as if that wasn't enough, he then signed a whole bunch of executive orders, including, finally, he signed a crypto executive order. So let's listen to what he signed.
It is.
Yeah, this is the crypto EO. We're going to be forming an internal working group to make crypto, to make America the world capital in crypto under your leadership.
Which is really going up, right?
Absolutely.
To make America the world capital of crypto under your leadership.
All right, David, that's for you.
Thanks, sir.
What a president. What a president.
You find them exciting? They might not be exciting, but they're going to make a lot of money for the country.
So what I'm trying to show you is that Trump understands that crypto is going to make a lot of money for the country. He's in touch. He sees crypto is going up, and he's proud of the fact that crypto is going up. And you know, one thing about Trump is Trump evaluates his success based on the movements in the market. And now he's got another market to evaluate his success around. And that's just the way that Trump works. And so I think we're in for a crazy, crazy, crazy 4 years. Let's dig in a little bit as to what this executive order actually means. And it's a very, very, very big executive order. So number one, the idea is to form a group or a task force to strengthen the American leadership in digital and financial technology. The first thing is it establishes a working group. And you need to understand the people that are part of this working group. The Secretary General, the Secretary of the Treasury, the Chairman of the SEC, and the Chairman of the CFTC. These are big positions, specifically the Secretary of the Treasury. This alludes to the fact that a Bitcoin strategic reserve is going to be coming up. Also, Trump spoke about a digital asset stockpile. He didn't speak about a Bitcoin stockpile. He spoke about a digital asset stockpile. And just to give you some context, here is a list of all the assets that the U.S. government holds. They hold Bitcoin, they hold $176 million worth of ETH, and they hold a whole lot of other tokens that you may or may not recognize. Usually they've seized these from court actions and a whole lot of other things. The third thing is that a CBDC is now completely off the table. So there's not going to be a CBDC. That's now completely gone. States, including by prohibiting the establishment, issuance, and circulation of a CBDC. Basically, Trump has lived up to every single one of his promises. And we really, really, really couldn't ask for more. Also, people are saying this is the single most impressive government document guidance about crypto ever written, let alone by the United States, ever written. He says, I have had the pleasure and the displeasure of having read basically all of them from every country in the world for the last 10 years. This one is absolutely incredible. The reason why this one is so incredible is because it was done by David Sachs. And David Sachs is not a bureaucrat. He's not a politician. David Sachs is an operator. He used to work for PayPal. He was one of the operations guys at PayPal. This guy knows what he's doing. He's a Silicon Valley VC. And if they know one thing, it's they know how to get shit done. And so the fact that you don't have politicians driving this, the fact that you have a real business person driving this agenda, and he knows that his reputation as a business person depends on what he pulls off here, is amazing. Also remember that he's a big holder in Solana. He's an early investor in many other crypto projects. He invested in Multicoins Fund. He gave an interview to Fox News, and I want to listen to some parts of the interview with you guys, just so that you can understand how deep this goes.
The man the president says is the man.
Let me slow it down. Let me slow it down, because you can see I was thinking very fast before I made the show. So let's quickly go there.
First of all, second of all, is this promises made, promises kept? Because Donald Trump said on July 27th that he would stop federal agencies from targeting the crypto industry. He made good on that promise today, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, President Trump campaigned to be the first crypto president. He gave a now famous speech in Nashville where he described how he was going to change the regulatory environment for crypto. And he has now acted on that promise. He signed this executive order today. He's directed our working group to produce a regulatory framework that's going to encourage innovation in crypto in the United States, keeping the industry onshore rather than driving it offshore, which is what was happening under the Biden administration.
I want to get to that framework in just a second. First, the executive order halts what President Trump calls aggressive enforcement actions and overreach. What is he talking about there?
What is he
talking about? Yeah, well, Edward, for the last 4 years, the Biden administration has basically prosecuted and persecuted crypto companies, really driving them offshore. I've heard so many outrageous stories by founders, by entrepreneurs. The Biden administration would not tell them what the rules of the road were, and they would then get prosecuted. And what the industry wants more than anything else is regulatory clarity. They're saying, just tell us what the rules are, we will abide by them. And the Biden administration would never do that. And because of that, all the innovation was basically moving offshore, and America was about to lose this technology of the future. And we want that innovation happening here in the United States, and I think it now will happen in the United States, because President Trump has declared that the U.S. must be the crypto capital of the world.
So it creates this working group that you will chair. What will you be looking for, and what type of guidelines are you looking to put out?
Yeah, so a few areas. So number one, market structure. We need to define what is a security, what's a commodity, what's a digital asset or collectible. So there's a few different categories here. So defining the market structure is important. Second area is stable coins. I think stable coins are a really interesting area. It gives us the opportunity to extend the dollar's dominance internationally. We can basically create a digital dollar that people all over the world will use. And then the third area that we're going to look at is we're evaluating this national stockpile for digital assets. We haven't created it yet, but we're going to study that issue.
So looking at the stockpile, haven't made the decision to go forward. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. Yeah, we're going to evaluate that. We have not decided to do it yet. We need to study that.
Is crypto an asset or a currency then?
So, I mean, you kind of hear that they want to make America the crypto capital of the world. They're looking at the strategic reserve asset, and they're talking about a stockpile. So it's not exactly the strategic reserve asset. All right, so that's the good. I mean, you've heard some of the good. There is a whole lot of more good. In fact, maybe we can look at some of the more good. The good is that Trump also said that he wants to see interest rates come down a lot. He said that. Trump says, I know more about interest rates than the Fed. The United States president claimed on Thursday that the Federal Reserve should take his advice when making monetary policy decisions because he knows more about interest rates than they do. When energy comes down, that's going to knock down a lot of inflation and will continue to bring the interest rates down. The president claimed that and added a strong statement from the Fed. He wants the Fed to listen to him and to reduce interest rates. And he says he's going to demand that interest rates come down a lot. Now, the reality is, I'm not sure that he can demand this, not officially at least. And the market's also not really believing, as you can see, they're not forecasting for any further rate cuts. In fact, let's look at the probabilities of what the market's pricing in. They're still pricing in one rate cut this year, even after those comments by Trump. So that's one thing. Now let's talk about the Bitcoin price and why the Bitcoin price is not shooting up. Okay, so I think a lot of people expected the Bitcoin price to shoot up as a result, and the Bitcoin price is not shooting up as a result. So let me explain to you what's actually going on here. The first thing is that crypto had priced in the strategic reserve to be implemented through an executive order. That would mean that Trump would have signed an executive order that said, make a Bitcoin strategic reserve and go out and buy if you want to go out and buy. And that didn't happen. In fact, now we know for sure that we're going the long route, right? And the long route is, instead of it being via executive order, it's now going to go through a process. David Sacks is leading that process. There's a timeline on that process. The timeline is that they have, maybe just find the timeline first. They've got 30 days. The agency must identify regulations affecting crypto. 60 days, they'll recommend rules to keep, revise, or eliminate. And 180 days, a task force will deliver a full report, which means that in all probability, we're going to have no strategic reserve for the next 6 months. Now, that's not a surprise to me because I was very skeptical about whether or not it's going to be executive order. In fact, if you recall my top 10 predictions for 2025, I said we will get a strategic reserve, but there'll be no buying in 2025. Now the market's starting to realize that indeed, it's not happening in the first 100 days. They're going to evaluate it. They're going to put together recommendations. It's going to take 180 days. And it's not going to happen quickly. And that's what why the market isn't running. Here's how I feel about this. I kind of knew this was going to happen. And I think that this is a good case scenario. Best case scenario, we would have got a strategic reserve by executive order. Second is, kick it down the road and just don't put any hurdles in the way. And then we'll have 6 months where the US, where the crypto market is operating, knowing that the US is putting in the infrastructure to do the strategic reserve. And that almost, Nothing guarantees a bull market, but it almost gives us an assurance that for quite a while, the crypto markets are actually going to continue to run. And so I think that that is a very, 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 very good outcome. And the reason also why Bitcoin itself isn't running is because now the talk of the strategic reserve is actually only is actually digital assets and not just Bitcoin. Now, again, to be honest, I think that if there is any asset that makes sense in a strategic reserve, it's only Bitcoin. I don't think a Solana strategic reserve makes sense, or certainly not a Cardano reserve, and not a Mudang and not a Fightcoin strategic reserve. I think the only asset that is actually worthy of a strategic reserve at this stage of the game is definitely Bitcoin. And so now the Bitcoin market is pricing some kind of probability that it's not only going to be a Bitcoin strategic reserve. So that is what happened in the United States in the last 24 hours, but it's not the end of the good news. And the end of the good news is, well, there's the other good news is Japan. We spoke about Japan yesterday and we said, look, one of the things that maybe the market's not pricing in is whether or not Japan's going to increase its interest rates. And there was a 90% probability, and Japan did increase its interest rate by 25 basis points. There was no surprise. If you look at their interest rates are at 0.5 now. This was the biggest interest rate increase. And the interest rates are now at the highest level since the housing collapse in 2008. And the reason why this is happening is if you look at Japan, Japan's got a massive inflation problem. Their actual inflation was 3.6. Their prior period was 2.9. We know what this picture looks like. Japan's in to take quite a lot of pain, and they're going to probably increase interest rates quite a few times now. The good news is that because the market anticipated it, the Nikkei is actually up. The Japanese yen is completely stable against the US dollar. And the best part is that all this is happening and we're getting a dive in the Dixie. The dive in the Dixie means that risk assets are going to reprice accordingly. And you can see that the Dixie's broken structure over here, right? And what you can see is that now the dollar is starting to break down, which is exactly what we predicted before the inauguration. It's now playing out. And as this goes down, and I believe it's going to continue to go down, I believe that risk assets are going to run faster and faster and faster. So all in all, what that means is that the bull market is definitely on. The bull market is definitely back. And in fact, Ben Cowan actually tweeted this today and showed you usually when the bull market ends. And usually when the bull market ends is that when you go to the 200 weekly simple moving average, you basically, there's still quite a long way to go for this to happen. So according to this, we're probably halfway into the bull market right now. There's pretty much quite a long way to go when that happens. And I think the Trump team is buying accordingly. They started buying ETH. That took ETH positive for the quarter. You can see that the ETH BTC price has started to return to normality. Look at the market. The market's celebrating. Everything's green. The ETH-related plays, the Lidos are green. Curve is green. A lot to celebrate today on the market. And I think the bull market very, very, very much intact. Very, very, very much intact. One of the tokens that in the bull market that's maybe not intact is Rune. And I think we need to talk about Rune because Rune has had a very, very, very bad day. And I think a lot of people are asking a lot of questions, specifically because Rune is one of the tokens that we've actually been bullish about. And to be honest, I hold a massive position in Rune. But I woke up this morning and just like a lot of you guys, I saw Rune trading at $1.92. Got the fright of my life, and then I opened my Twitter and realized that Rune, actually the protocol, was insolvent. And this is coming from very reliable sources. They said, so let's just talk about what actually happened. So for those of you who don't know what Rune is a protocol called ThorChain. ThorChain is a cross-chain protocol, right? Basically, it's the most decentralized cross-chain protocol in the market. It's a very, very good protocol, and it generates a lot of money in fees, about $30 million in fees a year. However, the Rune team decided to enhance the protocol's features by adding a savings and lending feature. Now, this was not core to the protocol because the protocol is a cross-chain protocol. The savings and lendings was a bolt onto the protocol, right? The problem is that the savings and lending protocol created almost like a bank on top of the Rune protocol. And banks have these things called bank runs, right? Bank runs happen when people who have loans from the bank or people who've loaned money to the bank realize that their loans may be at risk, and then they all run to the bank at the same time to try and withdraw the loan. And that's exactly what happened to the ThorChain protocol. Instead of leaving the base layer of the protocol as a lending and borrowing base layer, they strapped on lending and borrowing. And when they did, it made the protocol insolvent. In fact, I don't know what the exact numbers are, but the liabilities are 97 million of lending liabilities and 102 worth of savers and synths, which means there's about $200 million worth of liabilities, but they do have some assets to back that. And so what they decided to do today was they decided to stop the lending, tokenize the positions, the bad debts or the debts, and basically restructure the protocol. And that's exactly what happened. They restructured the protocol. I'm going to read this to you. It says, ThoughtChain is insolvent. In the event of any large debt redemption and or savers since deleveraging, it is certain that ThoughtChain cannot meet its Bitcoin and ETH denomination. Therefore, it is insolvent. And they recommended that. So here it said, ThoughtChain has two options. Let things continue, and then 5 to 7% the value will be extracted by a handful of people exiting first. Or default on the debt, go bankrupt, and salvage the valuable part and try to grow it enough to repay creditors without affecting the protocol viability. And that is the option which they actually opted to actually do. As you can see, ThoughtChain is valuable. It generated $30 million in fees last year. Currently, and this guy seems like he's the one that's actually working to make this happen. Anyway, they have passed the vote as far as I understand. They got rid of the leverage and now people have started to buy. And they're talking about buying more. I just want to show you a tweet which I saw earlier, which I think is probably worth speaking about. So this is Eric Fu. He's been a big ThoughtChain proponent because he really, really, really understands the tech. He says, the ThoughtChain situation. Node operators voted this evening to pause lending and savers withdrawals. Deposits have been turned off, had been turned off a year ago as the community became increasingly concerned with the risk. Remaining debts and collateral positions from lending and savings are now frozen, and the community needs to figure out a way to address them. ThoughtChain is one of the most profitable protocols in the ecosystem, and there are likely multiple good paths forward and good resolution. Lending and savers were two additions to ThoughtChain, which were experimental. At this point, it is clear that the designs failed and they were too risky. Whilst these are not functions to the core protocol, the risk has been a dismal overhang for a while, and nobody has been sure how long it would take users to clear out their position. One major lesson is to avoid risky experiments at the base layer of protocols and move them to the app layer where failures can be more graceful. This is an important design principle that the DeFi ecosystem should learn from. The lesson is not to stop experimenting, it is to double down experimenting, but it is to mitigate risks when untested. The ThoughtChain DEX itself remains completely operational. Swaps are not interrupted. LPs can deposit and withdraw without issue. I remain an ardent supporter. So let's talk about what this means. First of all, the way I hear it is that this cancer, if you want to call it that, has been stuck to this protocol for over a year. And finally, they've made the painful decision to operate and remove the cancer in this ecosystem. And now they need to restructure. And I believe that this is the bottom. And now that the cancer's gone, the patient can actually start to heal. That's the way that I see it. So then the big question becomes, should you be buying this protocol or should you be selling this protocol? Let's start off with a selling option. I wouldn't be selling. And the reason why I wouldn't be selling is this is peak FUD. The protocol has gone insolvent. This is peak FUD. Can it go down? Can it go to zero? Yeah, I'm sure it can. But I think this is peak FUD. I usually like to buy in situations like this. You'll remember that when similar things happened last year on Curve, I told you guys to buy Curve at about 20 cents. And those that did are five times in the money now, right? And you can see it over here. Those that did are five times in the money. The same thing happened to Solana. There was a mishap in Solana and people that bought, they ended up making a lot of money. I believe that this could be one of these situations, although there is always a risk that it would fail. Then the next question is, well, are you buying any? The answer is that I'm not, and I'll tell you why I'm not buying anymore. Because I have a massive, massive, massive ThoughtChain position. And the truth is that it's not that I'm not confident about its recovery, it's just that I don't have any more money to allocate and I'm not willing to take money from my other high conviction bets. The other thing is, if you are an investor that's looking for a short-term play, then I think this is the best short-term play. If you're looking to hold this for 6 months plus, I think if you do catch this and they do recover, you could make five times your money. Could. And so the reality is that I love these types of situations. And if I wasn't very heavily invested in ThoughtChain already, I would take a massive, massive, massive position. But I'm not, because I am already invested. And because I'm already invested, I just don't have any more money to put. And I'm not willing to sell anything else to buy this, especially because I think that this is not a quick turnaround. This is something that's going to take 6 months plus to fix. And so you need to buy it now and hold it and ride out this turnaround with them. And there's always the risk that along the way, something's going to happen and it's all going to crash like there is. And that brings me to my last point. ThoughtChain was one of my highest conviction bets. And to be honest, on the base protocol, it probably still is a very, very good protocol. But this reminds us that we're in crypto because we're here for the returns and we're willing to take the risks. And the nature of risks is that even though some protocols seem bulletproof and they've been here multi-cycle, we are currently experimenting. This whole industry is one massive experiment. Some of the experimentation will work and some of the experimentation will fail. This little part of the experimentation fell, and luckily, unlike Luna, the core protocol still works and there's a great chance of recovery. And so does this stop me from making calls? Does this stop me from investing in high conviction bets? Absolutely not, because I still have conviction. I have conviction in teams that are going to carry on experimenting. And I know that when I invest, I'm taking a risk that some of these experiments will fail. And if I didn't take those risks, I wouldn't get the upside. And it's as simple as that. But I think the main lesson here is that it's to remind us not to get ahead of ourselves, and that nothing in crypto is a sure thing, like nothing. And even Solana, which I love, may not be a sure thing. And so what you need to remember is every time you invest, remember to evaluate your potential risk and your potential return. And as I say, I did in this case, I knew what the risks were. I knew what the returns were. I chose to take the chance. And unfortunately, whereas in some cases, the return materializes, in this case, one of the risks materialized. And that's it. I haven't lost my conviction. Although I would probably say this is not one of my highest conviction bets anymore. Although I do think that this is a very, very good investment at the price if you're willing to take the risk and if you're willing to ride it out. All right, chaps. With that said, this wasn't supposed to be a show, but we made a whole show out of it. I will see you guys again on Monday. Have a beautiful weekend. I hope you appreciate how big the events of the last 24 hours have been. I think we're in the beginning of what's going to be like an amazing bull run. And may we get 3 or 4 days of amazing bubbles, amazing green bubbles going forward. See you guys again on Monday. Until then, trade well, my friends.